talking about tools this morning, if you can't figure that out.
Oh, my.
And this is the first time I had to think about what I was going to wear based on a tool belt color, because you can't wear much with hot pink hair.
My favorite tool partner, by
there
the way,
go, of
my
course.
Wife. If you can believe that, guys. Okay, I got other things I can sell you. Anyway,
we're glad. I'm Lori.
Yeah, and I'm Dave. We're glad you're here, part of the branch. Some of you are here for the very first time answering some invitations, or other people have invited you to check out the branch. Thank you for coming and being part of our Mother's Day service today, and we hope you come back. We hope this isn't your first and last time. We hope you just enjoy and experience God here and some things that God might be doing in your life. That's what it's all about, really. The first relationship is with God, and He gave us that relationship through Jesus Christ. So we're about knowing Jesus and then making Jesus known. That's who we are as a branch church. Pretty simple. But it's really what it's all about to live in this world. So we have an unusual service that we've planned here for mothers. You know what's interesting? We found out that on Mother's Day there's generally more guys that attend Mother's Day service than most any other service of the year, probably with the exception of Christmas and Easter. And so if you're a guy here, could you just raise your hand? I just want to see all the guys here. Yeah, give them a hand, gals. Give those guys a hand. I think they've...
Thank
There's about as many guys
here
as gals. Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
That is.
And so we thought we'd make a Mother's Day service that could relate to all of us and use this theme of building and tools.
Tools are practical and necessary for building things, repairing, and maintaining things.
Yes, they are. And I enjoyed when I was a kid playing with my dad's tools. I'm sure some of you guys did as well. And maybe some of you gals enjoyed your dad's tools or maybe your mom's tools, okay? But I enjoyed getting my hands on those grimy, greasy tools and trying to build something. Most of the time, it wouldn't build very well, but I was trying. And now, you know, I've been a dad, and my three sons are almost all raised. And they enjoyed playing with my tools, so much so that I found my tools missing. In fact, I don't have any more tools.
Hardly any.
In fact, what I had to do in order to keep tools was have my wife buy a tool set.
Yeah, and I did.
Colored pink.
My
and guess what?
Won't touch it.
The three boys, they won't have anything to do with this pink set.
Not
so whenever I need to build something, need a little hammer, I go find my wife, and she has this tool chest of pink tools that I can use then.
Yes, a limited set as it is.
Yep.
But we need tools in our relationships too. Relationships with people, spouses, kids, coworkers, bosses, employees, relatives, neighbors are built and maintained, sometimes need repairing.
Yeah.
Building great relationships requires tools. Right tool used in the right way matters. What are some of these tools?
Well, the first tool we're going to talk about is, sorry guys, an instruction manual. Sometimes instruction manuals are pretty important. This one here happens to be the Contractor's Reference Manual for the state of Oregon. So if you were to become a contractor in the state of Oregon, you have to go through and know this big, thick books of... you know, ways in which you have to comply with certain things in order to be able to build, to contract and such. I think Lori has another one in there too. It was a one that had to do with instructions for assembling things. Now, let's face it, guys. Most of us don't want to use any instructions, right? We know how to instinctively put together anything. We can build stuff without some kind of a silly manual. This is a waste of paper and ink, isn't it? Now, the guys are nodding out there. Yeah, that's right.
And well, the women are going like this, right?
Here's what we find out, though. Sometimes when we don't read the instructions, we can actually waste some time. Okay, guys, we got to admit here, get humble, okay? And we can run into a lot of trouble when we put things together in the wrong way or we haven't assembled something correctly, even if we have all the greatest kinds of other tools. This tool is pretty important, this manual. So I've learned sometimes to go by the rule book, the manual book, the instruction book, so that I don't get mad, so that I don't lose my temper, so I don't say things I shouldn't, or break things, or throw things, or lose things. That just gets bad for me. I don't know about you, because I thought I could do it on my own. We need one of the most important tools for building relationships on the planet, friends, and that's the Bible. Yeah. This book right here is a tool for building great relationships. Okay? If you want to have great relationships in your life, know this book. Mm-hmm. Learn of it. Understand it. My oldest son's birthday's today. Mm-hmm. He's Yeah, May 8th. On Sunday. So I text him because he lives in Salem. And I wished him a happy birthday. And then he wrote back. He texted me back. Says, Dad, what were you doing at age 24? Because he's 24. And I said, I was pursuing a better understanding of God at that age. By the way, I still am pursuing a better understanding of God. And I just want to attest to you that it's been extremely helpful in trying to build better and great relationships in my life. I commend to you the scriptures. If you want to build great relationships, read the instruction manual. There's a scripture that Lori's going to read here that'll be on the screen as well, I believe.
Yeah.
If that's available.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Peter 3:16-17.
Look closely at that verse with me. Just dwell on that for a minute. There's four things that this Bible verse tells us that is valuable about the Bibles that we have plentiful copies of. Electronic copies, numerable. You can get the Bible. Some places in the planet, it's hard to get your hands on a Bible. Look at what it says there. It is inspired or God-breathed. It came from God, and look what it says. It's useful. It's profitable. This is valuable. Just like a good instruction manual is very useful for building things, the Bible is extremely useful for building relationships, for building great relationships, both with God and with people in our lives. So look what it says. It's useful for teaching and rebuking. Now, just let me kind of give you a sense of what that could mean. The idea there is what to believe, teaching, and what not to believe. It's useful to rebuke us that, no, that's a false idea. That's false. Don't go that direction. That's wrong. If you do that, you're going to get hurt. So it rebukes us. So the Bible will say no to us if it's something that's going to be harmful to us. That's what God's interested in. So what to believe and what not to believe. And look at the next two that it goes on to say. It says correcting and training in righteousness. These have to do with how to behave and how not to behave, right? How not to behave would be correcting, and how to behave would be training in righteousness, training in how we would conduct ourselves, how we would behave in this world. So can you see how the Bible is constructed, designed for us as a manual for how to live life, for how to have good relationships, even how to have great relationships, not just with people, but with God himself, which is our primary and most important relationship on earth. First tool for building great relationships, whether you're a mom, a dad, a child, a coworker, a neighbor, is the Bible. Yeah. So here's the struggle that I've found as a pastor, 25 years, and we've been in the ministry serving people and helping people to know the Bible. It's really something. It's just kind of like us guys in the shop. We don't want to read black and white stuff. We want to get our hands on those greasy, grimy tools and get after it. But there can be a problem with that, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in life. It's a struggle to pick up the Bible, to take it in, to kind of use it as a tool to build better and great relationships. So there's a couple suggestions. You can only eat an elephant one little bite at a time. Mm-hmm. But you can still get it all down. And some of us would look at the Bible and say, man, that's a monster book. That's what I thought when I was growing up. That big monster book on the table in the living room there was like, woo, it was intimidating. But if you do a little bit at a time. So we have what we give out here at the branch is a little Bible reading calendar. And you can find all kinds of Bible reading calendars which help you to take in the Bible a bite at a time, a little bit at a time, to grow in your understanding of what God would have you to have you to become in your life for great relationships. Yeah. So we commend that to you, is using a Bible reading calendar, taking a little at a time. Obviously what you're doing here, you're taking a little bit of Bible because we're teaching it. What you do in small groups, the men had a little Bible study every Saturday morning. They learn a little bit of the Bible, which is really helpful. And then just perhaps family devotions or other kinds of devotions you might have, we just commend that to you.
Yeah. We, raising five children, try to figure out the best way to motivate them to memorize scripture verses. We bribed them. We paid them a quarter for every verse they memorized. And we finally, at some point with my girls, we had to put a limit on it because they were kind of breaking the bank. But they were motivated for that quarter. So it really worked. And still today, the first verse we had all of our kids memorize was Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, which talks about honoring your father and your mother and the promise that goes with that. So whatever tools you can think of and whatever bribing you need to do for your family, your children, yourself even.
Rewarding, right? To bribe is kind of like a reward, so it does work. Yeah. We're going to give away some.
Yeah, I have some gifts here. I would like to know, if you are a stay-at-home mom, raise your hand. Stay-at-home mom.
Stay-at-home mom, raise your hand.
We have
How many more?
One in the midst.
We've got one over here. Cindy
one
over here.
Okay.
Cindy's over here. Got to raise it high. There you go. Got a couple.
Okay, so how many kids do you have?
Another one over here.
Two.
There's one right here, too. There's one right down here. Yeah, got to raise it up high because we're going to, you got an opportunity to get a gift here.
Okay, how many kids do you have?
Two.
Is there another stay-at-home mom
over here?
Two over here. Two
great.
Over here. Oh, I need another.
And another.
How many kids?
How many kids do you have? Five kids.
Okay.
Stay-at-home mom has five kids. All right. So we have a devotional, devotional that gets you into the Bible.
Yeah, lady in the green shirt there.
Yeah,
we'll awesome.
Give,
thank you.
Yeah, right down there.
Give her
right
a
there,
hand.
Right in the middle there. I don't know if you saw her, Caleb.
Right
there she is. Right there. Yeah.
So a mom that works outside of the home.
Who's a mom that works outside the home? We got a number of them, I bet.
I bet, very
good. Raise your hands high.
Okay, and how many kids you got? One, Sydney.
Sydney
has
one.
How many kids? Two. Anybody over here?
How many of you have more than three children at home? More than three? Any of you have more than
three
that you have?
Three. Okay, Robin.
More than three?
How
Robin?
Many kids? Nine.
Nine kids. Awesome.
Okay, devotions for the woman on the go.
There we go. Great.
Mercy. All right. Mom with the most grandkids. All right, ladies.
All right.
Grandkids.
Most grandkids. Count. Raise up your hands really high if you have grandchildren.
Four and three quarters.
What do we got? Seven grandkids. What about back there? Sharon?
10?
15 Sharon has.
How many?
Okay, because it's Sharon, you got to name them all. Okay. I'm teasing you. It's like, how many? Okay.
Okay. Dolores, how many do you have? How many grandkids?
Eight or nine.
Eight or nine. Sharon, what was your number? Sharon, how many grandkids? 15.
Woo!
Anybody more than 15 grandkids?
Congratulations, all your grandmothers
give her
here.
Hand.
And we'll give that book to Sharon.
There you go. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, very good.
Well, there's another tool we need when working with tools.
Yeah, very important tool. I'm going to pull it out here. Let's see. Think
you can
about
use
on my belt.
Pink one.
Oh, no. I'm not going to touch your pink one. There we go.
Oh,
I got this one. I got a red tool. It's a hammer. A hammer's an extremely popular tool, right? You can do all kinds of things with a hammer. A hammer builds things, obviously driving in nails, etc. But a hammer's also used once in a while for demolition. How many of you ever used a hammer for demolition? Oh, yeah. So a hammer can be constructive or destructive. I don't think it was designed for demolition, but you know, it sometimes is used for it. Mm-hmm. And so the hammer, what would it stand for as far as building relationships? What could we, you know, the reference manual, the instruction manual, the Bible is its reference for us as far as building great relationships. But the hammer would correlate to the tongue. It's a tool, isn't it? Our words for building great relationships. The Bible says this, the tongue has the power of life and death, Proverbs 18:21. Very powerful, and it can build or it can destroy, as the Bible says. And so we're going to give you a couple examples of how that might work.
Right, when I was working, I had a boss that was very much a hammer kind of a boss, always had hard words to say, destructive words to say. Didn't make me feel good. It hurts. It's a lot. It leaves wounds. It leaves marks. And so that was kind of a hard thing to deal with at a season of my life. Then I also wanted to share the positive side of somebody who, with good positive words. I had a teacher in seventh grade. Her name was Mrs. Roush, and she was my track and field PE and volleyball coach. And she was very positive, very encouraging. She made me feel there was nothing I can do. And even though I probably was not very good in sports. Well, I really was not very good in sports. But I enjoyed it. I felt like I was the most valuable player because she made me feel that way. And we had such a kindled relationship from seventh grade to this day. I mean, she came to my 25th wedding anniversary. She was there when her husband passed, I was there. And so it's just kind of those words that you foster. You want to foster those relationships because they feel good. It's exciting. Yeah.
Words are powerful
yeah.
tools. And it can be so think about it as a tool. So when somebody gets amped up, they power up and their voice rises and they're maybe at a frustrated level, or maybe they actually are upset and perhaps even angry.
Yeah.
Okay, you've been around people in your life where that's happened. You know what the Bible says to do in response to that, to have a better relationship with that person, is not to match them and escalate what could become a major problem between two people. Rather, the Bible says that gentle or soft answer mm-hmm. takes away wrath.
Yeah.
And so when somebody's amped up against us and they're angry, perhaps upset, and their voice raises and gets a little faster, we respond with quiet, soft, gentle words. And it diffuses everything.
Yeah.
How powerful is that, friends? Because we will also probably get, excited and maybe frustrated or angry. And somebody hopefully would help us at that time in a good relationship to settle us down. Individual words or phrases can be extremely powerful for building great relationships. Here's a couple. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You all just say that with me once. Is that okay?
Sure.
Just say this with me. I'm sorry. Sometimes those are the hardest words to come out of our mouths,
yeah.
but the most life-giving mm-hmm. at certain times. Words are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They change things. They matter. When we use words that compliment other people, when we may not be able to find a lot to compliment them about in their particular situation, when we can compliment them, that can really lift their day. Their supportive words or words of simple appreciation are very powerful. Thank you for following God. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for just listening. Thank you for that encouraging compliment. It made my, really made my moment and probably going to make my day because I'm having a tough day. Things like that really, really matter. Look what the Bible says here. I'll have Lori read it as it's on the screen.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29.
Even in this verse, look what it says. It has that term building. Mm-hmm. Building. Wholesome words that benefit others will build them and the relationship that we have with them. And so, over and over again, our instruction manual, the Bible, contains this instruction about the tool of our tongue and how important it is mm-hmm. in building great relationships. And moms, thank you for being there for kids that, need that building
yeah.
in their lives as you raise them.
Yeah.
Really good.
Another tool, then talking about tools that we need, the third tool is a socket set.
All right. Socket set. Now, this is just a few sockets. This is just a few. Some of you guys have big, monstrous socket sets that have, maybe a couple, two or three dozen sockets that you use, right? And, of course, this is used for certain nuts and bolts that we have to either tighten onto things or untighten from things. Extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
For building our sockets. In fact, my youngest son, who has these big lawn mowers, he was trying to take the blades off from underneath the lawnmower, and he searched our garage up and down and couldn't find a socket that would fit. Well, friends, he couldn't get those blades off until he got the right socket. It demanded that he find the right socket to take those blades off. So he had to actually go out and buy one to add to the numerous amount of sockets that we already have. So the socket set. Well, what might that What might be the metaphor? That'd be a metaphor for, or a figure for what would be a tool for building relationships. I submit to you this. Love. Love. Love is this quality of God that we learn from God. We love because He first loved us. And so this idea of love extends to all kinds of situations. In fact, there's a verse here that we'll read. In fact, it'll be on the screen, and we'll just examine what love is according to one of the definitions or ways of explaining this idea of love and how it works for many different situations, like different sockets are needed for different situations.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7.
Every person in our lives is a little different. Some are a lot more different than some of the others.
Yes.
We have an illustration of that just in our own family.
Yeah, just like one size of socket doesn't fit all. We had 5 children in 8 years, so it added for some much needed patience with children. Come to raising them, they're all not the same. You can't discipline one the same way you can do the other, or teach them different things because they're different personalities, different temperaments, and same with maybe people in your lives that are different that you have to adjust. You have to be willing to try a different socket, a different approach with them.
One person might need more patience at a particular time,
sure.
And love says to us as a tool, be patient with them.
Mm-hmm.
Another one offends us easily, and so the love would say, I need to be more forgiving to this person because they're constantly offending me.
Yeah.
And so it's a tool that adapts to the situation. And it might not be the same socket that I use over here or approach that I take with this person that I might have to with this person over here. Does that make sense? This idea of love, getting to understand and equipping ourselves with this tool of love is absolutely critical to having great relationships with everyone in our lives, including God, for he's the first we're to love the most with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, so I just commend to us this morning, you know, as we kind of pull out the toolbox to build great relationships, this idea of love. It's like a socket set. So it's not like this one tool. No, it's this one handle that has all of these different sockets for a variety of situations of all the people and the variety of people and diversity all around us. Okay?
Another tool in the toolbox, which just happens to be one of my favorite tools.
That's not a tool. That's not a tool. This is not. Look at that. What is that? That's a thermos.
It's a thermos, yes. Once you get into a building project, it's hard to stop. We get so focused, and all we can think about is the job to be done.
Anybody identify with that a little bit? You get kind of... Yeah.
If we're not careful, we'll spend every waking hour trying to finish sun up to sundown.
Yep.
Late into the night, working on very little sleep, barely stopping to eat or even use the restroom. Totally absorbed. Let's be honest this morning. Some of us need to grab the thermos and take a break. Now. We are wound up way too tight, all stressed out, grumpy, tired. You need to get out the thermos and loosen up. If you don't have some healthy stress relievers, you're probably not much fun to be around. I think life is way too short to be so serious all the time. Have some fun, learn to laugh, and take a break.
She's talking a little bit about me in
that elbow.
Okay, just so you all understand that, I'm one of those kind of guys that gets going and don't take enough time.
Oh, we all
make
are
enough
guilty.
Break.
We all, yeah.
Look what the Bible says here.
Yeah.
This is in the circumstance of Jesus and his disciples and all the work they were doing. Look what's said here. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus took breaks.
Yeah.
And we live in this fast-paced, crazy world where it's just hard to take a break. It's hard to set up our lives because there's so much we can do, so much, many places we can go, so much we can consume our time with, so much entertainment that we can take up our time with, that sometimes relationships get neglected. Does it make sense a little bit? Sometimes we can neglect relationships. Others can neglect us because they're so consumed with what life is doing for us. I, growing up, my parents, they had a great relationship. Their whole lives they were married. Over 50 years. And my dad would come home from work and my mom would clear the kitchen. She'd make coffee and he'd come in from work every day at the same time. It was just like clockwork. And they would sit down together at the kitchen table and they'd just talk and debrief their day. Mm-hmm. Us kids would want to come in and interrupt and say, "Hi, Dad." Yeah. And my mom would say, "No, out, go. This is our time." Mm-hmm. And they took time every day to connect. It was a break that was extremely valuable for their great relationship. And I look at that often and say, wow, I can learn a lot just from that example.
Yeah.
From what Jesus would say, to take a Sabbath. Sometimes our relationship with God suffers because we don't Sabbath weekly. We don't say, hey, this is God's day to connect with him and to make sure I have room for the other people in my life. Friends, thank you for being part of a Sabbath day today in the sense of taking time to worship God, mm-hmm. to connect with God, and perhaps with some other people in your life too, yeah. on this Mother's Day.
Raising large family and trying to figure out our seasons, being in ministry to take a break, we'd have our kids for our family time go get their pajamas on, and then we'd do a pajama run. And we would take the kids, they'd get in the car in the pajamas, and we'd go McDonald's and get a little ice cream through the drive-thru, or when there was Christmas, we'd drive around, see Christmas houses all decked out with lights and stuff. And so that was their fun. They still remember doing a pajama run, and it was kind of a neat, affordable thing we could do.
One of the things that we had to do, because we were always busy in the ministry and with a household full yeah. of kids, is that we had to decide to deliberately take time ourselves mm-hmm. for our marriage. Okay, and so we'd spend some good money once a year for a while, and then once every couple years to get away for a marriage retreat mm-hmm. with family life for their marriage getaway conference. We'd spend $500-$600 to get away once a year, just our time mm-hmm. to reconnect, to kind of do some marriage maintenance mm-hmm. that we felt we needed. Very important for us. Mm-hmm. We try right now because the kids are scattering to the winds.
Married.
So let's pull them back together. How can we do that? Yeah. In fact, even this week, we're planning on a trip into the backcountry, do some backpacking in the Olympics with about four or five of our own family. So yeah. we're really thrilled about that, just to be able to reconnect. Mm-hmm. Because they're scattered and doing things and busy as can be, just like you are.
We've committed to 1 week in August where the kids and everyone gets together, and that's our week, and we all try to manage it, and we all get there, because if not, I mean, time goes so fast, you're so busy. Pretty soon, I haven't seen my son in 3 months, 2 months, and even though we talk, but seeing each other is different. You've got to take that time and make that a priority.
That give me a break time. That yeah. This is okay, tool-wise, okay, everybody?
It
guys,
is.
I'm
it's
sold
needed.
On it, all right? Get out this thing when in your life, okay, for building great relationships.
All right.
I like this last one.
Oh, I know you.
Oh, yeah.
Men and their power tools.
Power! Every tool can be empowered, all right? We can add power to almost any tool today, you know? Pneumatically, we can plug it in, and we got power to you know, drive a screw in or to bore a hole somewhere. We need this power.
Okay, give me that.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. So, anyway, get all excited about the power.
Definitely.
And what does this relate to? This relates to God's power. You see, God wants us to have relationships that are good, better, and the best they can be.
Amen.
He's all about that. The greatest commandments are to have the greatest relationship with him and with people around us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself, or treat others as you would want to be treated. He wants to empower that. He's putting all his energy behind that. Mm-hmm. And so he will give us the power to do that in a greater and better way. He really will. Consider this scripture out of the Bible here. I pray, Paul the Apostle says, out of his glorious riches, that's God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with, there it is, power. Mm-hmm. Look where it comes, through his spirit in your inner being. Now to him who's able, there it is, to him, that's God, who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so we understand that God has a power available to us through the ministry of his Spirit in our lives, and that by prayer, we can access a measure of that power that God, in his activity in and through us in relationship to people, can be more than we could ever ask, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. If you want a better relationship with a person in your life that might be you struggle with, pray. Pray and continue to pray. At the same time, use other tools that God has equipped us with in the instruction manual. And watch what happens in your relationship with those people. Because God is at work with a power that we don't have. It's his power. Yeah. And so we want to take